pleased to feature 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins on this morning's Watch. Brad with us on Tuesdays every week. Going to talk primarily about money today. Budgets being released by the Senate. All three, as a matter of fact. And we have told you about how the primary supplemental budget from the House and Senate have both come out now as well. And so talks are beginning to try and get things shored up as far as that's concerned. And we'll look at some of the details and also kind of specifically how at least a piece of those pertains to us here in the 12th District. And Brad, I appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much.
Yeah, good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So it's kind of winding down. We figured it would go fast, as it always does, especially in years when the session is only 60 days, but only a few weeks left now and plenty to sort out as far as I mentioned, the budgets are concerned. So that's primarily what we want to talk about today. And I'll just kind of let you run at a full gallop here and figure out, how to assemble this, I suppose, because there's a lot to look at, even though it is a supplemental year.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting year. Normally, these supplemental years are designed to just make modest improvements to the existing budgets. So just as a reminder to the Coho listeners, the state budget's on a two-year cycle. And last legislative session, we already approved the 2021 to 2023 budgets. And now we need to make some adjustments to those, but the revenues are so significantly up that I think the updates this legislative session, at least for the operating budget proposal, will be much more than just modest adjustments.
Well, again, it's something that always gets tweaked a little bit, I suppose, Brad, but there's extra money in the budget, so we're certainly hearing about a little bit more spending and spending in billions actually due to that surplus. So can we start there as far as just what some of those upticks are looking like?
Yeah, so just the budget that we're already halfway through is approximately a $59 billion two-year budget, and just yesterday, the Senate Democrats released their updated budget proposal for the rest of the two-year period, and they are proposing to increase the spending to $64 billion. So that's a significant increase just in the remaining months of the year. And part of that increase does include a $2 billion transfer to the transportation budget. But to go from $59 billion to $64 billion is quite a jump. There's no tax relief included. The House Democrats also proposed their version of the operating budget, and they're proposing to spend even more at $65 billion. So what has to happen sort of between now and the end of the session on March 10th is for the House Democrats, Senate Democrats, and the governor to come to an agreement. I don't know that the House or Senate Republicans are going to be able to support some of these proposals. I mean, the budget has just really increased, Chris. I mean, just in the time that Governor Inslee has been in office, for example, since 2012, the budget has doubled. It's gone from $31 billion to now what's being proposed, nearly $64 billion. And there are some inflationary factors, there's no doubt, but that growth in the state budget has far outpaced the rate of inflation in the state of Washington. So I'm just concerned about the sustainability of the budget and what happens if the state of Washington takes a hit in its revenues in future years, and what massive cutbacks are going to need to occur to get this budget balanced in future years.
Well, I suppose it's not surprising just in general terms, Brad, because as we know, Democrats typically like to spend and Republicans like to be a little bit more conservative, fiscally speaking. But it is a little bit surprising, I think, for everybody involved, at least for this interviewer, because, a couple of years ago, moving into the pandemic, when, the budget process for the current cycle wasn't even completed yet, we were talking about massive shortfalls or really tightening the belt on things because we had to, because we were in a global crisis. And we came out a lot better than expected, all this extra revenue. And so, I guess to spend a lot of it or see such spending on the heels of that crisis, of said crisis, it is a little bit surprising as far as that's concerned to me. So does that surprise you as well? Or
Well, I guess it's a pleasant surprise that the revenues did not slow down throughout the pandemic or despite the pandemic as we initially feared. This pandemic has not really been like an economic slowdown. So it's been an interesting process to kind of work through. But I think you're right, and I don't mean to kind of make politics of it in any way. I mean, there are different philosophies. My Democratic colleagues say, you know, some of us say they like to spend. They like to say they like to invest. You know, they like to invest in a lot of important services in the state of Washington. And honestly, there is a lot to like in the budget. I mean, when you have that level of resources to invest in programs in the state of Washington, it does do a lot of good things. I guess my concern is that we should be trying to save more in our fund balance or our reserve account so that, you know, if that time comes 2 years from now or 4 years from now, that our state is prepared to absorb and weather the downturn. Our state currently is still very dependent on the sales tax as a revenue stream. And what happens is if people aren't spending as much money and, you know, if things take a turn, then the state revenues really take a hit. So that's one of the things I'm concerned about. Although part of the reason, like I said, this proposed operating budget that was just released yesterday does propose to spend so much is because $2 billion is transferred just on a one-time basis to the transportation budget. And that's to help create these revenues for the Move Ahead Washington transportation package. And that the transportation budget writers have done a creative job with that. What they've done is they've used federal dollars that came in from the infrastructure bill that President Biden signed in November. They used a lot of the revenues that they're banking from the state of Washington's Climate Commitment Act, which was already approved last year. And then they're banking these one-time dollars from the operating budget, plus implementing some fee increases. But in altogether, they put together a transportation proposal where they're able to make significant investments in new transportation projects and preservation and maintenance projects throughout the state without a gas tax, which largely the gas tax has always been a part of any new transportation investment package. So there are some creative activities going on, and I guess when it comes to the transportation budget or that Move Ahead Washington proposal, I'm just still hoping that we can move ahead, you know, throughout the entire state and not have a big donut hole in central Washington and some of the Republican areas, because most of the current proposal has been mega projects in western Washington and some projects in southwest Washington and Spokane. So we need to make sure, for example, like our Confluence Parkway project could get included in that, so we can make something like that a truly statewide set of investments.
12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins with us today here on the Coho Morning Show. So, Brad, what are the parts that are kind of specific to the 12th District in this? Is there anything within any of the budgets that's really going to trickle back here and make a difference at home, essentially?
Well, the operating budget certainly will. I mean, that funds the day-to-day operations of the state of Washington. So all the state employees, all the education funding is nearly half of the state budget. Most people don't realize it, but school districts are actually local government entities. They're not state agencies, but we do fund schools significantly through the operating budget. So half of these dollars do go into our education system. That is our state's paramount duty based on the Constitution. And a lot of the other things we care about, whether it's state parks or criminal justice or making sure we have a effective healthcare system, Medicaid match and paying off debt service and some of those other things, that's all factored into this operating budget. As far as the transportation budget, there are a significant amount of grants that will be available to our district in that Move Ahead Washington program. Many of the transit agencies, including Link Transit, will benefit significantly from that. Maintenance and preservation, as I mentioned, is a major, major issue and a major need all throughout the state of Washington. to maintain and preserve what we currently have in our roadways. So we will be receiving that. But as far as new projects or new investments, not really under this plan. You know, the Highway 18 widening is $640 million, for example, near, between North Bend and Federal Way. There's that new Columbia River crossing bridge in Southwest Washington between Vancouver and Portland. There's efforts for West Seattle. There's efforts for new ferry investments and rail investments. And those are all important to help us, you know, get our fruit to market and all these sort of things. But in terms of projects that will be noticeable in our area, new projects, no, unfortunately we don't. But I still think there is a possibility that we could get the Confluence Parkway project included in what goes to the governor. The Confluence Parkway project is a $134 million total project, but we've already received $49 million in federal match that Congresswoman Kim Schreier helped secure. So all we really need is $85 million in the $16 billion transportation package to do something really meaningful for North Central Washington. And that's what me and Mayor Koontz and Richard DeRock and Jeff Wilkins and Representatives Gaynor and Steele, that's what we're trying to do. So it remains to be seen whether we can get that across the finish line, but we certainly hope so.
All right. Well, stay tuned, I guess, because the sessions still have about 3 weeks remaining, and I imagine anything could happen. We're certainly hoping a few of those things that we've been looking for to happen will, in fact, transpire as the sessions finish out for 2022. Finishing out our time today with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins. Again, he talks to us on Tuesdays every week during the legislative sessions. And, Brad, I appreciate the time. As always, stay well. We'll look forward to next week's chat.
Sounds great, Chris. Thanks so much.